You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
He's just a dreamer. It's a disparaging remark, usually describing someone with wishes and hopes but never accomplishing anything. The opposite end of the spectrum is the person who has no hopes, no dreams, no goals at all. The world is filled with dropouts who have never dreamed of anything except to be a stick in the mud. In his very first sermon, on the day of Pentecost, St. Peter told people about a great happening in his own time. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God for your benefit with powers and miracles and signs which God did through him right in your own midst, just as you yourselves know, this man whom you took and with wicked hands crucified and killed, God raised from the dead, having loosed him from the pains of death, because it was impossible that death should hold him in its power. Such a happening cannot pass by unnoticed. Even the dullest and the most indifferent of people, whether in that time or in this, have to recognize that something happened there, and the effects are felt today in every part of the world. People may still disbelieve, but they cannot ignore it. After more than 70 years of official attempts, with all the powers of the state behind them, to put that happening out of sight and out of mind, the highest authorities of the Soviet Union not so long ago were forced by their own history and their own people to participate in the celebration of the 1,000th anniversary of the coming of Christianity to all of the Russias. For some of those 1,000 years, the church in Russia may not have been a first-class example of what a church could and should be. Yet after 10 centuries, there are believers in the Soviet Union, probably millions of them, who dare to dream of the day when they can worship and serve openly again the man approved of God with powers and miracles and signs which God did through him in the midst of people like themselves, Jesus of Nazareth. Peter's first quotation from the Old Testament in that first sermon of his on the first Christian Pentecost is from the prophet Joel. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons will prophesy and your daughters also. Your young men will see visions and your older men will dream dreams. Now that Jesus has died and has risen from the dead, the age of the Spirit has come. He is the Holy Spirit whom Jesus promised to send, taking the place of Jesus and inviting people like us, you and me, to put ourselves in the place of Christ, just as Christ put himself altogether in our place. Calling people not to be dull and drowsy, but awake with the Spirit, to dream dreams not dreamt before, the Spirit of God gives new life to people who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. All of this comes to a world where doom and gloom are the order of the day. People view life with no hope and no dreams. The situation is hopeless, they say. Things cannot be changed. We cannot be different from what we now are. It's useless even to try. The old story of that shoe salesman coming to a new territory reflects this prevalent attitude. He reported to his home office, "We cannot sell any shoes here. Everybody goes barefoot." The home office called that man home and sent another salesman down there. He dared to dream and wired back to headquarters, "Send me 1,000 pairs of shoes. The opportunities here are marvelous. Everybody needs shoes here." Black people can tell you what it meant to them when a great gathering in Washington, D.C. heard a man say, "I have a dream." Instead of regarding themselves as doomed to remain second-class citizens, performing only menial tasks, some awakened to the fact that God had created them, as he had other people, to be respected by others and also to show respect for others. The faith of black people in Jesus Christ, for whom they had learned to show respect during those long years of pretty silent suffering, took on a whole new tinge. Many of them learned to take heart as all of us must, from that ancient song, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence comes my help. With the help of God, the impossible becomes possible. An intelligent fisherman who had never gone to the seminary, but who had the best seminary training anybody ever received from the Lord himself, got up on that festival Pentecost, when his people usually celebrated the first fruits of the harvest to come, and made it a notable occasion now by quoting the prophet Joel, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your older men will dream dreams. It was not only a great day, but the beginning of a great new age of the Holy Spirit of God, sent by God himself to tell the good news of life and salvation throughout the world. It's for all people, all flesh. The good news comes even today by the power of his Spirit, doing its own work, turning people around, and filling their souls with hope. It's the stuff of which dreams are made. The purifying of life by the power of God, who takes people out of the dull and stodgy and makes them alive again. Wherever the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed and lived, there the Spirit of God is. Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, he will testify of me. He also told his remaining 11 disciples in his last conversation with them, the Spirit will come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me. The witness of Christ will always remain alive because the Spirit of God is in it. It's what the prophet Joel said would happen, and it is happening even today. The poet T.S. Eliot once gave this counsel to people left in the morass of their own making, dive deep for dreams, or a slogan will topple you. Slogans die, but dreams do not. A dream goes on, becoming a reality every day. People do not have to remain dead in their trespasses and sins. In the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, God himself has broken through, and by the power of his Spirit through the gospel, people break out of certain death into boundless life. The would-be dream makers would like to have you believe that all you can hope for in life is a second car in every garage, a beachfront condo for your sunny retirement days, and a wall full of gadgets to manage everything by remote control. Watching a football game on television, a beer can in hand, is the ultimate that life can offer. It may be exciting for a moment, but only as a mud puddle is exciting for a little fellow with a new pair of shoes. Reality soon comes back, as it probably will for that little fellow when he walks into the house again. The dream breakers have a way of overwhelming the shallow dream makers, recalling to realities that surround us all. There are poverty and disease, and there are also despondency and death. The incredible use of drugs in these days gives vivid testimony of the cycle of despair gripping the lives of people both young and old. Crack cocaine addicts, many thousands of whom are teenagers or preteens, do not sleep for days at a time. So complete is their desire to escape from even any thought of the future. If you don't sleep, you can't dream. The drug consumes, while that dreamlike escape induced by the drug keeps you from thinking about the fact that you're going nowhere, nowhere at all. Too many people don't dare to dream because they are terminally afraid that all dreams are lies. None can come true. Dreams are always nightmares. Against foes so powerful, we proclaim the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Is it good and true enough to recapture dreams and see visions of the future where death itself is not the end? How can people, both young and old, claim allegiance to a dream born 2,000 years ago, before the Porsche, before beachfront property was even valuable? How can people in church and over the radio keep on talking about changing the course of lives just through faith in a person who was flesh and blood 2 millennia ago? What's exciting about the forgiveness he offers? It doesn't make sense, they say. It doesn't make sense without the Holy Spirit of God. It did not make much sense to a lot of people that day. for Peter to speak about Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Yet Peter saw in this happening the most exciting thing the world has ever seen. To him it was the fulfillment of what the prophet Joel had been talking about. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Not just upon religious people, but upon all flesh. In other words, you are included. So am I. So is everybody who's listening today. So are all those people who have never heard the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is out to get them, not to take them in, but to bring them in. The Spirit brings people in, as the Lord said he would, telling them about Jesus Christ and testifying into their hearts that Christ is for them. Christ is for you. That's the Spirit of God talking to you today. Make bold to believe. People have stated their belief through the long years in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. There is God, the Father Almighty. There is God, the Son, the Savior of the world. There is God, the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. There is one God, not three gods. There is one God, able and willing and caring enough about you to do what he has done in Jesus Christ and will do for you in his Holy Spirit. He gives you his Holy Spirit, not in dribs and drabs, but in a great rushing stream. It's enough to make young men and young women prophesy and to make older people dream dreams. Dare to dream. If you're 13 or 14 and don't have the foggiest idea who you are or what you're going to be, dare to dream. Dare to dream if you're 45 and turn this broadcast on totally by chance while trying to bang down the clock radio alarm. Dare to dream even if you're 65 and have spent every Sunday morning since you were knee-high to a chihuahua in church. Dare to dream even if you're 82 and so alone and in such pain you just want to pull the covers over your head and make it all go away. Dare to dream dreams. Believe in the Holy Spirit and confess that God's grace is possible. It puts you on a deep diving expedition, taking you down as far as an empty tomb, even into the dwelling place of the vanquished foe in the pit of hell, where the risen Christ claimed victory forever. Dream dreams and emerge with flaming hope that will not and cannot be held down. Have heavenly vision. Not of sugar plums, but of genuine life in the presence of God himself. That's the vision. It takes the power of the gospel to make that vision come true. That gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. You've got a lot more to do than to contribute to your retirement fund. The time has come for you to quit being afraid. The Spirit of God is not afraid. And you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of uttering a peep about Christian values around your buddies or workmates. Christ has died and Christ has risen from the dead. He's alive and you can be alive with him. Recently, a federal attorney met with 750 Christians in one of the world's largest cities. No charges were pressed, but the attorney was impressed. The Christians had collected 200,000 signatures to call for better schools, better housing, and an end to the plague of drugs. This government official said, as one involved in an arena where it seems as though everyone is corrupt, everyone has a hand in the till, and the bad guys are winning the war, you can't know how important it is for me to see you. Your hope is visible. Your work is apparent. You're not afraid to dream of a society where the drug problem is overcome. It can be. You have given me that hope all over again. It just may be that another dreamer was born or reborn that day. That's how the Spirit of God works. In ordinary people, like you and me, in ordinary words, the good news has come to the world by the power of God's Spirit. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us, and has committed to us this word of reconciliation. Now then, as ambassadors of Christ, we can appeal to one another in the name and in the stead of Christ. Make your peace with God, for God made him who did not know any sin at all to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There has never been a shortage of the Holy Spirit. There's never been a shortage of dreams. There has been a great shortage of daring. Daring to trust God. Daring to love Christ and to follow Christ in loving others. Daring to put away the bitterness and the gnashing of teeth, which are the destruction of life, and to dream of the glory of heaven, meeting people right here and now who dare to dream that dream and to put that vision to work in a world redeemed by the blood of Christ, offering forgiveness to all, with renewal of life and the hope of heaven to all who dare to believe. Atonement for sin and the promise of life through faith in Christ are not a dream. But they certainly invite you, in the power of God's Spirit, to dare to dream the greatest of all the dreams. Amen.